The GLP-1 pill you've been waiting for is now on Ro. Yep, it's finally here. With the same clinically proven ingredient, now in a pill, and now on Ro. It's the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. At the lowest price available, that's one daily GLP-1 pill for big results. Now on Ro. Go to ro.co/listen to see if you qualify. Rx only. Go to ro.co/safety for serious side effects and boxed warning associated with GLP-1s.
At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait, am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork. But somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com. An Autodesk company.
Jonah Dillon, the Tigers football beat writer and reporter for the Commercial Appeal. You can follow Jonah on X. Better be following him at the Jonah Dillon. Read him and listen to his podcast at CommercialAppeal.com. Jonah, I don't know what it is about your music, but every Thursday this hour, it doesn't matter what frame of mind John and I are in, when we hear it, we start moving. Even Brad is moving and grooving as we're getting set for Tigers football season. So we appreciate you in more ways than you know. Listen, we know that every time Dr. Ed Scott opens his mouth, it's interesting. And he did it again this week with the folks over at Grind City Media. You've written about it. In terms of those things that Ed Scott said, Jonah, what did you find the most interesting? I thought that some of the stuff about AAC scheduling was very interesting. But for you, some of the things that Dr. Ed Scott said, what did you think weighed heaviest?
Yeah, that was interesting. The stuff he was talking about scheduling within conference, yeah, that's something that I've been talking to people kind of behind the scenes about for a little bit now, because there hasn't really been an explanation from the conference on the procedures for how they're scheduling, things like that. And so essentially, if you're Memphis, it's been going like this the past couple of years, you're playing Navy, South Florida, and Tulane, either all at home or all on the road every year. Yep. And that's creating unbalanced schedules. It's creating situations where one season the home schedule looks really strong and you're selling a lot of tickets because of that. The next season it's not, and then you got to play all those games on the road. And obviously that makes your season a lot tougher in terms of how you're going to do. And so I think it makes sense that they would want those things to be a little bit more evened out. Mm-hmm. And then just some clarity on the scheduling in general, because Memphis is playing the same four teams every single year. And then the way the other scheduling is working, they played Charlotte three times in the last 4 years. There's a lot of teams they've only played once. And so I don't know exactly how that's working. Hopefully Ed Scott can get some answers for us. Yep. We'll see. But yeah, the scheduling stuff. And then look, what he said about power conference, trying to schedule power conference opponents, I don't think it's surprising the way that he said it, saying like, yeah, if I was a athletic director of one of these schools, I wouldn't schedule Memphis. I think people understand that and they know that, but to hear him say it out loud in that setting, I think was definitely interesting.
Yep.
You know, there was another thing he said, and I wasn't there, so I'm curious how you felt about it when you heard it. But, you know, for so many different junctures throughout this season, we've heard, you know, I mean, Charles Hubb's been a very confident guy. Like, he's talked the talk. And then he had a sort of – maybe it was a throwaway, maybe it wasn't. But he said over the weekend, I don't know how many games we'll win, but when you play us, it's going to be a dogfight. What, if anything, did you make of that quote?
Yeah, I mean, I saw some people being like, well, this is a disaster. Like, let's just move on to next season. I don't think that's necessarily how I would reply to that. I think he's trying to set expectations of, I want us to play a certain way. regardless of how much success we're having on or off the field. I think, again, we talk about preseason stuff. It's really, there has not been a lot coming out of this football program, really in any way over the past few weeks and few months, really. And so you're hearing Charles Huff say stuff like that of this is what I want people to know about the team. This is kind of the only stuff we're hearing about it. And I think if ideally you want to have a culture and a kind of identity of this is how we're going to play regardless of how things are going on the field or personnel and stuff like that. And that is important when you're a new coach coming in and you have so many new players and a new coaching staff and all that type of stuff. At this point, it's like, you know, let's just see what happens when the games start. And then again, this has been the storyline. We've talked about it multiple times. The whole offseason, we've had to kind of just, okay, what's Charles Huff saying? Okay, people are excited about this. Okay, they're concerned about this. None of it has anything to do with winning football games, right? And so once we get to that first game, the storyline is just going to change, and it's just going to be about did you win, did you lose, and what does it look like moving forward?
You know, it may not even come down to Memphis and South Florida per se, but we know those are the two teams investing the most, the two teams at full rev share. And I know, Jonah, we've sort of posed it to you, as, or at least I have, that, boy, Huff's got the advantage of having been a head coach over Hartline. And there's no question. It's a fact. It's something Huff has even brought up. I wonder, too, and I don't think we've discussed this as much. I've tried to go and find here just recently how much of an Ohio State flavor. Now, it's different. You're trying to pull from Ohio State, Hartline would be down to a lower level. But in terms of knowing guys and how many he brought down, and obviously it's a different charge, but it seems like it's far fewer. Maybe it's a handful of guys. And so knowing what you have, again, even in that sense, you haven't built one before, and it doesn't feel like you're going to have that same sort of knowledge of what your guys will do under pressure, like Huff's got of Tapp and all of these Southern Miss guys that he brings over. Have you been able to see that he's got, you know, in terms of what he brought over from Ohio State, anything that looks like, okay, well, you got to be concerned about this on the field? Is there a heavy Ohio State flavor? Because I haven't been able to find that there is one. Like I said, understanding that that's acknowledging that asking them to come down is sort of a different job.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, look, he has a great relationship with Jeremiah Smith. Jeremiah Smith isn't going to leave and go to South Florida, right?
1,000%.
And so I think people, a lot of times you have coaches leave and they take a bunch of players, especially when you're going for, I mean, look at Charles Huff at Memphis, right? A bunch of players came with him. It's more complicated when you're going from Ohio State to South Florida, obviously. I think there is something to be said about, again, South Florida. There hasn't been as much talk about them this offseason, I would say, as maybe I would have expected, because they are recruiting at a high level. Like, I think something that hasn't really been talked about, we'll see what happens with their quarterback competition. I would think that Michael Van Buren has an advantage. Like, Michael Van Buren has started a lot of games in the SEC, yep, and was pretty good at Mississippi State. Like, and then last year at LSU, kind of a wash based on the whole season. When he was a freshman at Mississippi State, there were a lot of people really excited about him, about his future in the SEC, right? And so, like, it's a legitimate situation. You have a lot of these guys who come in and you don't know how they're going to perform at a certain level. Would not be surprised at all if he was the best quarterback in this conference. Like, that's the ceiling for him, absolutely. And so I think that team, and again, I would expect them to be pretty good in the trenches. I would expect their offense to be good because of what Brian Hartline has done.
Right.
There are going to be questions about game management stuff. That was Alex Golish's problem, right? Like, that team had more talent than anybody else, especially last season. That was the most talented team in the American. And they won most of their games, and then they kind of shot themselves in the foot, yep, in the games that they lost. And I think even now, looking back, that was probably the best team in the conference last year, top to bottom. And so if you're a first-time head coach, you talk about it with a lot of these guys, you hear it of guys who came up and they coached at smaller levels. Think about Kurt Cignetti figuring it out at those types of places. Then you get to the big-time place and you fix those coaching issues, the decision-making, the do I go for it on fourth down, stuff like that. If you've never been a head coach and you're suddenly being presented with those types of situations, you can have some growing pains, right? And so I think that's sort of built into what is going to happen at South Florida this year. Maybe why people aren't as high on them as they would be if they just looked at the roster. But I think that the ceiling is 100% there for them, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if they end up being the best team in this conference.
So, you know, how do you think in the NIL era, like, obviously they had a vision for Marcus Stokes, but I think they also had a vision for Aaron Nolan. I mean, both of these guys, super decorated, you know, come out of high school. What is the NIL era, like, protocol for, okay, one of these guys wins the job, And then what? Because, you know, again, Aaron Nolan, this is his third stop. I'm sure he came to Memphis really hoping and expecting to play. Like, how do you think this looks for the loser of the quarterback battle in the NIL era at Memphis this year?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously really tough, especially you go through the whole season and you're hoping to compete and you want to get that spot. The thing that Charles Huff has said a couple times throughout the offseason that I would agree with is, like, whoever loses the quarterback competition, there's a pretty good chance they're going to end up playing this season, because especially the way that quarterbacks play in Kevin Decker's offense, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, there was a situation where someone got hurt. Charles Huff even mentioned what happened last season in Memphis with Brendan Lewis, right, where, like, the season was essentially derailed because of the injury situation. Now, obviously, that could have been handled differently, and that's a whole other conversation that doesn't, I guess, need to be relitigated at this moment. But I think that you would expect both guys to play. And so the question is, how do you deal with that, right? If you came here to be the starting quarterback and you're the backup, I think the conventional wisdom is whoever loses it will not be on the team next year. The reality is whoever wins it also might not be on the team next year, right? Because both guys have more eligibility. If whoever wins the competition plays really well, a lot of schools are going to be after him. And so you end up in a situation where maybe whoever loses it ends up staying next year and has a chance to compete for the job again. But you're seeing guys transfer every year, right? And so I go into it, even if there is a coach retention, I go into every offseason just assuming every player is a free agent and could leave. And then when people come back, you can say, okay, that's a returner, that's an important piece. But I don't really expect people, especially at a school like Memphis, which has a pretty high level of talent and guys who could play at the Power Four level, it's just hard to go into an offseason expecting that anyone is going to stay for certain.
I was telling John that, you know, Stokes has got a chance to be the Trinidad Chambliss of the American coming from D2. And John pointed out to me that I think, did we say Stokes finished higher
yes.
as a finalist than Chambliss did as a Division II finalist for the Harlan Hill? Would you buy that he can be that dynamic on the American level if Chambliss can do that in the SEC?
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously pretty high expectations to put on someone. You're talking about a Heisman contender in Trinidad Chambliss.
Yeah.
But I talked about Michael Van Buren, potentially best quarterback in this conference. I think that's the ceiling for Marcus Stokes as well.
Okay.
I think especially in this offense and especially in the fit with Kevin Decker and how he wants his quarterback to play, and knowing that Kevin Decker identified Marcus Stokes a long time ago as somebody who would excel in this system.
Yep.
And again, like, there's always going to be the question, and we're going to learn quickly if he's the guy. How does it go? You're Division II, you put up a lot of yards, did all that stuff. Now you're playing against a much higher level of physicality, better athletes, all that stuff. The game is going to be quicker. And how do you handle that? But the potential is there to do that. And if you watch the tape, there's absolutely a situation and a world where he comes out and is one of the best quarterbacks or the best quarterback in the conference. I don't know that if you said, what's your prediction right now, that would be the pick. And that's why if you see those quarterback rankings, he's not at number one or anything. But I think that is a huge, like, there's a chance that that's what happens. And he is a breakout star, and he is somebody that people nationally are talking about as we get further along in the season.
It is amazing the trickle-down effect that Trinidad Chambliss had on Division II, because before he ever showed up, the list of D2 guys that went D1, especially at quarterback, was like Austin Reed. Austin Reed actually went from West Florida, where Marcus Stokes was at, to West Kentucky and was pretty good there. He had 3,300 yards and 31 touchdowns in 2023, and he led the FBS in 2022 in passing yards. But now you look around, you got Marcus Stokes at Memphis, you got Maurice Smith at Illinois, you got Braden Fuller at Arkansas. Like, it is amazing how there's one guy, and now it's like, okay, maybe there's these unturned stones in Division II that we gotta go find talent, because obviously these guys can play too.
Yeah, and also the fact that I think we forget this, Trinidad Chambliss went to Ole Miss to be a backup. Like, he wasn't
right.
supposed to be their quarterback. He was, and not only that, people were talking about Austin Simmons as like a Heisman contender preseason, and then he gets injured, Trinidad Chambliss comes in, and now that becomes the storyline. But look, if Austin Simmons didn't get injured, would we be having this conversation right now? Would we even know who Trinidad Chambliss is? Like, that's how crazy some of this stuff is. Again, quarterback injury led to a huge change in stuff, and that's why your backup quarterback, if he's really good, that can change your season, and that can be really important.
John, there's been a lot of talk about UNLV's quarterback situation, and we figured, you know, you're probably leaning towards Jackson Arnold, but they've got a 1,000-yard rusher back, their backfield returns. How do you feel about Memphis's ability And especially it's going to have to be there early on to stop the run. Those guys that they've got up front defensively, that front seven to stop the run, because it sounds like you're going to need to be able to get those stops, to get your fast offense out on the field in that first game. You're going to need to be able to stop the run.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's going to be one of the big storylines next week. Jet Thomas, UNLV is running back, one of the best players in the group of six, and a big deal that he came back. I think that as I think more about this team and about Memphis's strengths, I really do think that this team is going to be strong in the trenches. I think that's going to be a strength on both sides of the ball for this team, assuming health, especially on the offensive line. I think defensively, that's the one thing. Look, we haven't heard a lot about specific players and specific position groups that Charles Huff is talking about throughout the offseason, but he has been pretty clear that he thinks the defensive line is a strength. And it makes sense why. There's a lot of continuity there of guys coming from Southern Miss. Jamon Tapp, probably the best player on this team, and comes in as a defensive end who I think is going to surprise a lot of people this season at this level. And I think when you look at the defensive line, they have a lot of depth there, which is the one position Charles Huff has talked about. It's really hard to have depth, obviously, in any team, especially NIL transfer portal era, where it's really hard to find guys who are going to be backups who are, you know, quality players. You don't have that in most places, especially at a G6 school. I think if there's one place on this roster for Memphis where they actually have depth, it's the defensive line. And so that will be important. Obviously, you're going to rotate guys and there could be injuries and stuff like that. But yeah, I do think that is a key thing to watch, like you mentioned, week zero, is how does that line hold up against what is a really good rushing attack? But yeah, I would expect, like, I would be optimistic about the defensive line and how that unit is going to be throughout the season.
Jonah, great stuff as always.
Always,
man.
Brother.
We appreciate the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yep.
Thank you.
He is Jonah Dillon, covers the Memphis football program for the Commercial Appeal. Next week we'll have a game to talk to him about. That's exciting. I didn't want to blow the preview, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I was getting a little bit into it, but yeah. And he said that's one of the big storylines next week.
Yeah, you know, and it's one of the big stories. You know, it's just interesting. Like, you just don't really know much at all about it. You know, we don't know who the quarterback. We assume we know who the quarterback is. It'll most likely be Marcus Stokes. But it's interesting to look back, like, at there has not been a ton of Division II to FBS success. There's like two guys. Austin Reed, who was at West Florida, like we talked about, he won the starting job at West Kentucky and led FBS with almost 5,000 yards in 2022. Now, crazy steroid offense, but he still did it. And then, obviously, Trinidad Chambliss, same story. He wasn't expected to be the starter, you know, and now is one of the best quarterbacks in football. So maybe Marcus Stokes can do the same thing.
It's a lower level.
It is, yes.
We're not asking you to go out there and be Heisman Trophy winning. In the SEC, I mean, Heisman Trophy caliber, we should say.
Yep.
Like Chambliss was. We're asking you just go be elite on this American level. See where that gets us.
Yeah.
I think if you're in that, if you're just that, and you got a pretty solid defense,
yeah,
you're going to be up near the top of the American. Seems like folks are sold on Navy.
Yeah.
And less sold on South Florida.
Yep.
That it's Navy that's really the team you got to, the team to beat.
And you know, 2 years ago, 131 D2 players transferred to FBS. Most recent, that number is up to 165 from D2 to FBS. So, you know, it definitely is one of the – and I think it's great for those D2 guys because, I mean, some of these schools I would never even begin to know where
they
are.
Not every D2 guy is going to be able to do this. What I like is you're talking about two of the elite here in terms of that were finalists for the Harlan Hill, right? So we saw what one did, even when he was expected to be a backup. Some of that might have been, well, nobody's got any tape on you. In terms of for Chambliss, but what can this one do? Both put up huge numbers. You know, that's the thing, is you have two of the elite here in those two, and you're asking yours to do it at a lower level.
Yep.
So that's why I feel good. Feel pretty good about it. I mean, keep in mind, this was a guy who did have an offer from Florida and others before, you know, all those offers were rescinded for the mistake off the field, with the N-word and all that. All that's behind him,
right?
And hopefully, he's still that level of talent we've seen in terms of being a leader. He's had to grow through that, talk that through with coaches and with guys around him. And so if he's got this swagger that it feels like he does, maybe he can put up those level of numbers in a much less talented conference.
Yeah, and I do think that's an important distinction. It's like when you think about why he was there at Division II as opposed to maybe why Trinidad Chambliss was there, why somebody else was there.
Exactly. I
mean, he was there for
a mistake off the field,
transgressions, as opposed to – he didn't have the ability.
Would have been at Florida.
Yeah, he was committed to Florida. You know, was caught on camera saying the N-word or singing the N-word. You know, had to do some self-reflection and earn it a different way. And now he's back at the Division I level. So I do think that's a very key all D2 guys are not created equally, clearly.
Right.
He wanted to go there, get some tape. He did. Now he's coming to Memphis. You know, we'll see how it goes from here.
A former four-star.
But this is a very talented player. You know, this is not a guy
on a lower level. On. Yeah. I'm going to continue to make that point.
Yeah.
So, again, he doesn't have to go up and put Chambliss numbers up at Ole Miss.
Right.
But surely he can put up big numbers in the American against some of these defenses.
Yeah, and I'll be curious to see, like, what – I mean, obviously, I guess Aaron Nolan would just leave after the end, after the end of the season.
Well, again, I think there's going to be times you're maybe playing him.
Yeah.
You know? He has a chance to play more, even as a backup,
yeah,
than he's ever had. And at some point, you got to get something on film. You got to get some production on tape to show it to even to the next school. So, you know, I would just say in his situation, and this has probably been talked through, my guess is they got some packages for him.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to include him. It's going to make you more dynamic, especially with Kevin. I mean, Jonah just told you, in this Decker offense, as fast as it moves, you know, you may throw him out there. You're getting guys in, guys out. You may very quickly throw him out there, have him run a couple plays or a couple of packages, and then switch back just because it figures to be that dynamic, that fast. We're talking about some hypo goalish type speed here stuff. And so my guess is, yeah, maybe Stokes could use the blow.
Yeah.
I mean, you can throw some teams off defensively.
Yeah.
Just from what I'm hearing, it sounds like they're going to try to play both of those guys.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to happen in the first game or not.
Well, you should have some
both engaged.
You should have some opportunities on the schedule for sure. I mean, you have Arkansas State. You could get him in there for that one. UT Martin, you could get him in there for that one. So he'll have two games, it seems like, where you get in there for sure.
One of these guys can transfer out on you. You'd like to keep the other guy, right, in terms of next year.
Yes. I mean, it could absolutely.
And that's a way to keep them both engaged.
Yes.
Either, hey, maybe one shines and moves on from you to a power four or whatever.
Absolutely.
But you've played the other guy, and okay, here's now. See, that's why we played you both, because we wanted to keep you in case this happened.
I mean, you could get him in there against UAB at home, right? So there could be three games in this season where you get, you know, Aaron Nolan in there as the backup.
Never underestimate Alex.
If we can't get our lick back on Alex, we got problems.
I hope Huff feels like we owe them.
Oh, we owe them. We owe them bad. So
I mean, they've been talking stuff and everything about how they derailed game day and all this for us.
Yes.
Trash them folks.
But appreciate Jonah Dillon for joining us on the show. We got Memphis football next Saturday, 9 o'clock on Fox. Tim Brando on the call. Can you get excited about that?
Absolutely.
This is what we've all been waiting for. This is the alpha, the omega. This is the end all be all. Man, it's gonna really suck coming in here after they go 0-1, isn't it? It's gonna be brutal. But if they come in here 1-0, how much fun it would be.
Hope you give Huff the credit he deserves.
He's a builder. He's a quick builder. So we'll get we'll be 1-1 at worst after September 5th.
Mm-mm. So, we're going 1-0. Gonna have that place lit when Arkansas State comes to town.
What's the number? Let me check the number on that. Has any good money come in on Memphis, man?
We're holding steady at 6, I believe.
Yeah. Right now, I'm just using Caesar. Yeah, 6.
Holding steady.
I'd love to see that number come down, though.
Everybody senses Mullen's confidence about this game.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody, that number's not moving. He seems pretty confident. He's got that backfield.
Tough one.
He's got a former SEC quarterback.
Yeah, and then they'll probably be, 7.5-point dogs against Boise State? Because Boise's rated higher than UNLV, so.
Depends. It depends. Depends on what you've done in your first two games.
Yeah, if you somehow upset UNLV.
And
then
how banged up is Boise after Oregon?
Right.
Yeah. If they've lost their starting quarterback or something.
We don't root for injury, but we do.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It's a possibility. So.
Yeah. Well, if they lose their starting quarterback, I definitely think they'll they'll be inside 3 or so. Hey, the opportunity is there for Memphis to make some noise and say we're here under Charles Huff. So thanks to Jonah Dillon for joining us today on the show. We'll come back. Lots more to come. J&J, 90.9 FM, ESPN. An absolutely outrageous story. Where else? Right here in the great state of Tennessee.
Yeah, this one's a little far off, but it is Tennessee.
It is. It's Winchester, Tennessee. A teenage girl from Tennessee is facing multiple charges after she ran onto the field during a middle school football game and tackled a player on Tuesday night. The incident occurred during a game between South Middle School and Cummersville Middle School, which was being played at Franklin County. She comes onto the field I mean, it was a form tackle. The player's in full pads. I mean, how would you rate the tackle from the footage that you saw? I mean, it was pretty, you know. I don't know if she like lowered her shoulder or anything like that, but she was definitely running full speed.
It must be her brother or something that the penalty occurred against, because this woman,
yes,
excuse me, young lady,
yes,
comes storming out in a fit of rage.
Correct.
That would make you think, okay, somebody did something to my family member.
Correct. Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, we got buttons.
Yes.
Family member.
Yeah. I think that's exactly right.
I think we got Brad in there training.
Yeah, it's a lesson for all of us, right? We all kind of train together. But I would say most definitely it was because the player is black. The person tackling the player is white.
I don't even think I noticed that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that would suggest
there was a flag thrown.
Yes. At the very beginning of the shot, I'm assuming
she's going after the player.
Correct.
Who the flag was thrown on?
Exactly right.
Yes.
I think you nailed it.
That's what the rage is telling me.
Correct. That the brother, her brother is the one that was the victim or the recipient of an unnecessary roughness penalty or something.
Correct.
Along those lines, and she's getting her lick back on the player that delivered that. It would be my guess.
That's what it feels like.
So there was a touchdown and an extra point and a scuffle broke out between a pair of players. So there you go. So it was she's coming down, you know, big sister's coming down, she's getting after the player on the other team, you know, who was involved in that fight. Well, she has been charged with assault and disorderly conduct.
I guess you got to charge her with something.
Yeah.
Can we just keep it at the disorderly?
I think we could.
Because I'm not sure she hurt the young man here.
Yeah.
And again, maybe we can understand it, that emotions were involved.
Yes.
If she writes an apology or something.
Yes.
I'm not sure we have to go to those lengths. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree. I mean,
it looks small townish to me.
It does. It's football, too. I mean, it's a violent game. You know, now
it's middle school football.
It is middle school. But I have seen and heard video clips from you out here at these basketball games with CJ. And it would surprise me if you took the court.
Bro, hold on a second before you do that. The girl received a lifetime ban from all Franklin County school system properties.
I mean, that seems justified.
According to a local outlet.
That seems justified.
And she's also barred from attending all Cornersville home and away games for 1 year.
Seems justified to me, based on her. I mean, you can't be running on the field tackling people.
Lifetime ban?
I mean, we can revisit that after a while, but I mean.
She can't work through that? She can't pay that back? That debt to society, give me a break.
I mean, she went back for the push after he got up. I mean, she
didn't go out there with a gun, bro.
No, but
it was just a little push. So I think it's ridiculous. Now, yes, I've lost my mind a couple times. Never have I gone onto the floor try to break some up. Did see that happen down in Orlando when tensions rose. Mom's going out on the floor. Okay.
Yeah.
It can't happen. But guess what? We're not doing. We're not, and she didn't make contact, but we're not even considering bans.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We're asking for better conduct.
Yeah.
And I think this can be handled in a small town way.
I think that's a fair place to start. Yes. I think a ban is definitely in order, though. I mean, you can't be doing this.
No, you won't do it for a year or whatever.
Yeah.
Let her learn her lesson.
Yeah. But, you know.
Can't come to Johnny's games anymore.
She's a kid herself at 16.
That's right.
You know, so.
It's a lifetime ban, right? Too heavy for a 16-year-old that clearly was.
Now, I'm not excusing any and all behavior.
Made a juvenile decision.
You know, at 16 years old, the difference between right and wrong, and you know that what you did was wrong. Running on the field, tackling the player, like that. You know, you should have let the coaches handle that. You should have let the adults handle that. But I also understand that.
Also protective.
We're in small town USA, where family is everything, and that's all we got. It's family and nothing.
I'm guessing it sounded a little bit like that on the ride home.
Yeah. You were not going to just beat up on my little brother, Johnny,
mm-hmm.
and think you're just going to get away with it. Okay?
Right.
So.
And they're probably going to stop and get some beer on the way home.
Yep. Yep. Exactly right.
That's what it sounds like.
So.
And nothing's wrong with that.
No, I mean.
But I think after
I mean,
the, I think after the fight.
If they're 16, there's something wrong with that.
Well, I don't mean for her necessarily.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The family.
The whole family is, as they tell the story to everybody in the neighborhood.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I mean, you know, we're proud of you, honey. That's the way we raised you to be. You stayed up for yours, you know?
Yes, I do know. That you really sound plugged in.
I mean, that would be my guess is how it mostly sounds. Because, like, obviously, you know, for us, you know, I'd be mortified by this. You know, Riley, get your ass back in the stands. What's wrong with you? You know, I'd be mortified by that. I would not encourage this behavior because we're civilized people.
Right.
But, you know, in Cummersville, you know.
I've never even heard of it.
Hey, that's what we teach ours to do, is blood is thicker than water.
What's that young lady's name?
She's a minor, so.
Okay.
I mean, I could speculate, but. You know, maybe a little Crystal or Angel or something like that.
Angel was what I thought of.
Yeah, I mean, it is.
That's interesting. I think we're on the same page.
That might be a generational thing for us, though. Like, I don't know if they're still naming their kids Angel in 2026. But I think when we were growing up, definitely a lot of Crystals, a lot of Angels, you know, Marias.
Nope.
Maria, sneaky, you know, the white girl named Maria. They were out here.
This girl, I'm telling you, she's going national now, having made TMZ with this video. So
yes.
She's not going to be able to live this down anytime soon, that small town.
No.
But some will hold her up as a hero.
Some will absolutely hold her up as a hero and say, you are defending your brother, and that's what you're supposed to do, right?
In this country.
Yeah.
Yep. You got, yep.
That's
you
what
got
she's
right.
supposed to do.
That's exactly.
But, you know, for us on the more civilized, you know, modern western side of the state.
Non-trailer park.
You know, we would say that is the most humiliating thing that has ever happened to me. Like, you're my daughter. People know who, you know, it's like, now I have to go explain your ridiculous behavior. Like, that's what I'm teaching in my home, right? It's like, you don't trust the adults. You don't trust those referees to officiate it. Like, no, like, that is not the way we, now, if it crossed the line, but Jason, my guess is it probably did not rise to the level of needing intervention from the stands. I mean, it was probably just a football fight, right? Like, these are par for the course. I mean, these are middle school kids.
Yeah, it's middle school too. That's what I'm saying. It's only going to get so violent.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Now, I've seen some violent high school games when Cam Clear was out there for
again
Central.
High school. That was
extremely
grown man stage.
That was scary. I mean, I remember that one. I was out there for the CA, and Cam Clear took a helmet off, or somebody took a helmet off, and it was just
don't put that on Cam Clear if it wasn't him. Sounds like a Myles Garrett type moment.
Well, he was out there. I don't know if it was him, but I know they had to end the game early.
And this was the last, you were telling us earlier, this was the last high school football game you attended 13 years ago?
It was one of them.
Okay.
It was, I want to say it was like.
No wonder you haven't gone back. You're scared of the violence.
Central, Whitehaven. Yeah. I mean, it was 2010, you know. And then Whitehaven was always a good time. But, you know, Rodney's now coaching at Memphis. Who's the, do we know who the new Whitehaven coach is?
It's Stan Collins.
Okay, Stan Collins.
Former, OG coach.
Yeah, Stan Collins, that's right.
Holding it down.
Yep, so he was there from 79 to 96. Mm-hmm. Then he handed it off to Salisbury.
Pretty
all right, so yep. Now Salisbury's handing it back to him.
Yeah.
So, all right, that'll be an interesting, and who we got out of White Station, man?
Not sure.
Who is? I know we had Riccone there for a minute, but I don't. That's probably been 10 years.
Well, a little bit more turnover over at White Station.
Coley Thornton.
There you go.
He was the defensive coordinator at Memphis at Central, and he was at White Station Middle as well. So he's been there. This is his second season.
Okay. They got somebody remote from that Central staff, then should be doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Because they've been good.
Yeah, we had he replaces Taryn Conley, who was 9-21 in three seasons. Man, White Station, dude. Golly. I mean, we really used to be a point of pride athletically in the city of Memphis.
Yeah.
And we just ain't.
Football hasn't been nearly as
no. You know,
the power that you were in basketball.
No, it wasn't. I mean, although.
And you got good.
We won a state title when I was there.
Yeah. And Major Wright picked you up and kind of led
Major Wright and then
and Rutherford took and ran it through the tape. But
yep.
Those were not, because my whole time, White Station football, garbage. So I think there's more of those years than there's been.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Great White Station football.
Yeah, we had a couple of. Remember, we had Sed Wilson there for a couple years, right, when he was playing quarterback, and then he went on to be a receiver at the NFL level.
The son.
Yeah, the son.
Yeah.
So we did have
that the dad is coaching somewhere now, I want to tell you, assistant coach somewhere.
That sounds right. I'm sure he is, yeah.
Yeah.
So we did have a couple random years with Cedric Wilson Jr. At White Station, and then Donald Gray, who's a Memphis Hound Dog now, but was an acrobat, man, just an unbelievable player in terms of catching that ball. But yeah, you know, it just has not been the same for us athletically. You know, what's the easier path back, football or basketball? I don't know. I do not know. I don't think it's basketball, because I mean, we got to deal with Bartlett on top of all these other.
It's just hard. It's hard to have an edge in MSCS these days. It just truly is. You know,
sad.
The White Havens have managed to keep together both on the football and the basketball sides, but it's a challenge, because whether it's the municipalities or the private schools, they just feel like they've got more to offer in a lot of those instances.
Yep.
You and I are both proud inner city.
Yes.
City school products, and there will be many more to come.
Yes. So
hopefully these programs can get stronger, keep those guys. That's the thing. It's hard to keep them. When you find them, you can't keep them, because – these other schools will come in and recruit them from you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly right. Anyway, there you have it. Crazy story out of, I guess this is like Eastern Tennessee, middle to Eastern Tennessee. But we'll see what happens with this young woman. All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come here on the show. Drew Hill's going to join us at 11:25. We'll talk Grizz with him and more. Stick around. J&J, 92.
The GLP-1 pill you've been waiting for is now on Row. Yep, it's finally here. With the same clinically proven ingredient, now in a pill, and now on Row. It's the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. At the lowest price available, that's one daily GLP-1 pill for big results. Now on Row. Go to ro.co/listen to see if you qualify. RX only. Go to ro.co/safety for serious side effects and boxed warning associated with GLP-1s.
When it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir, but yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. Maintain X was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule, automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With Maintain X, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on Maintain X, because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try Maintain X free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
9FM, ESPN. Hi, we're back. J&J, 92.9 FM, ESPN. We talked a little bit about this at the start of the show, but there was a big NBA trade yesterday. Cavs, Nuggets, and Clippers agreed on a deal that will send Peyton Watson, who I think for most people listening do not even know who that is, right? When they hear the name Peyton Watson, they probably are just very unfamiliar and unindoctrinated with Peyton Watson. You kind of have to be a bit of an NBA, like, you have to be a real NBA watcher, you know, to know who Peyton Watson is. But he's going to sign a new 4-year, $88 million deal with a player option and trade kicker to join the Cleveland Cavaliers. So, you know, they're bringing in a little bit more athleticism, some 3 and D, as they say. in Cleveland. I like it a lot for them. I mean, it's fantastic. They're trying to keep up. Obviously, the 76ers bring in Jaylen Brown and LeBron,
and
the real big three.
Anthony
Simons.
Brought in Dean Wade.
Dean Wade.
From Cleveland.
The real D. Wade.
Actually paid him. He's now like a backup four instead of the starting four.
Probably in his right
which
role.
Which is where he needs to be.
Yep.
He is a backup four on a championship team now.
Yep. So anyway, you got Peyton Watson over there with the Cleveland Cavaliers now.
Good for Cleveland.
Nuggets get a 2031 first round pick, which is unprotected. You know, in 2031, that could be good for the Cavs, right? I mean, that's 5 years from now.
Could be. ESPN gave Nuggets a D, though.
Yeah.
The only thing good out of it is the draft. I mean, that you can make a case for that's good as the draft picks.
Clippers got Max Strus. Wizards got Trey Mann and a second rounder from the Cavs. And then the Hornets got Dennis Schroeder and Cash. I mean, I actually like Schroeder. I like him more in international basketball than I do the NBA. But, you know, whatever. He's a viable guard, backup point guard. So, yeah, look, Cavs, obvious A+. You're adding a guy at 23 years old who, you know, is clearly ascending in his career. You know, averaged 15 points a game last year, length, defensive ability.
Well, it takes pressure off Harden to actually do something for you in the playoffs, or your dependence on Harden to do something with Donovan Mitchell.
Yep.
Now you got a young dude who's hungry.
Yep.
That maybe, again, can have a little bit more of a better history when it comes to a better reputation when it comes to playoff games, game sevens, and everything else. Harden's been what he's been, and he's shown you time and time again you shouldn't be relied upon.
Yep.
Can he be a part of it? Sure. But this now you've got a guy certainly that, along with Donovan, you can look at, okay, well, maybe he's finishing off some games for us.
Yes. So, you know, again, shot 41% from three last year. So very, very good. So
yeah.
I like it a lot for them. And then for the Nuggets, I mean, they're just victims, right? They're victims of the second apron. They're victims of, I mean, and they're not the first team. They're not going to be the last. Boston had to do this. They had to, you know, ship out a lot of salary. I feel like there have been maybe some other teams that I'm not thinking of off the top of my head that have done it, but Boston is the most notable. They had to get off of Kristaps Porzingis a season ago to get away from the second apron. So, you know, when you have Jokic and you have Murray and I guess Cam Johnson as well, this is kind of the road you go down, and it does cost you. And really Christian Brown, right? Christian Brown's contract is the one that looms large.
I mean, that one's big. I suppose there are some Denver fans that feel like, you know, Christian Brown's on a deal that they like. I don't like it for them.
Yeah, I mean, 5 years, 125. I mean, that's...
They've also, as it points out on ESPN, a host of failed draft picks in the 25 to 40 range over the last half decade is coming back to haunt them. Jalen Pickett, Julian Strother, Hunter Tyson, Bones Highland, they include. Watson was one of those guys that had come through and had actually been good for you, and now you're moving on from him. Again, three of their top eight scorers from last year gone. Watson, one of them. Tim Hardaway Jr. is now in Miami. Jonas Valanciunas, who played backup minutes behind Jokic, now gone as well. And the guys you've replaced them with, to that point, Marvin Bagley III, that's your Valanciunas replacement. And the ESPN points out a EuroLeague wing named Alpha Diallo is going to also fit into that mix. You've lost more than what you've retained. That said, you were the only team operating that second apron. Something had to change. I thought there was going to be a way they move on from Cam Johnson and keep Peyton, keep that little bit of youth.
Yep.
But I guess they felt uncomfortable paying the note.
Yeah.
Based on where they are right now.
I mean, he's better than Cam, you know.
He is better than Cam.
I mean, because Cam.
And younger.
Cam had a tough year last year. He only averaged 12.2 a game. And that's down from his 18.8 the season before with Brooklyn. I guess part of that is just his usage went down because you got Jokic there and Murray. But
he's also 30.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you were really hoping to bring him in and be a clear and obvious upgrade over Michael Porter Jr., and I'm not necessarily sure that that is what you got.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like kind of, I mean, maybe a better shot selection version of Michael Porter Jr., but maybe a healthier version of Michael Porter Jr., but really just not I mean, because Michael Porter Jr. averaged 24 a game last year, and I'm sure.
Yeah, getting right, used right, with right. the usage going up and everything. But he was useful for the Nets last year.
Only played 52 games and did shoot 18 shots a game.
Yeah.
But 46% from the field. I mean, that's pretty damn good on that kind of volume. 36% from three, not awful. So, I'm not. I mean, again, they probably know more than I do about it behind the scenes, and I'm sure there was a reason for it. But you know, it's tough because you know the Nuggets have in theory done literally everything right. I mean, they get Jamal Murray. You know, I mean, I don't remember what pick he was, but he was not a top five pick by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, traded for Aaron, didn't they?
They got Aaron Gordon. Yep. I mean, Jamal Murray was a seventh overall pick, not obvious at seven. Jokic was a second rounder. You know, they drafted Peyton Watson. They traded for Aaron Gordon. You know, they drafted Christian Brown. I want to say, you know, and again, we look at it differently now because his contract is bloated. But you got to think about it from the standpoint of, like, where did they get him in the draft? Like, what was his slot? They drafted him 21st. That's a great pick. So the Nuggets have done everything right every step of the way. They've drafted well. They've traded well.
Drafted okay.
You know,
like I said, I just ran you down a list of guys who hadn't worked out.
Right.
Pickett, Strother, Tyson.
Yeah.
Bones, Highland. They've got listed.
But you know, I would say like you would. I don't know if it was this front office that drafted Jokic or not. I don't know if it's if they've all stayed together. I would assume they would.
Some of that was Conley though. I thought when he was
maybe
still
that's right.
there,
now
he's obviously running things in Minnesota.
Yeah, but you would mostly say it's been. They've done things the right way.
Oh, yeah, in terms of in-house.
And still, they're having to basically shed all of it.
Only team in the second apron.
You know.
So you can't say all the moves have been right to be here and to be as old as you are with this core.
Yep.
And not much of a way off of, again, Jokic, Gordon, whose hamstring is deteriorating by the year,
yep.
Both 31, Cam Johnson's 30, Jamal Murray, the oldest 29 we've ever seen in the league.
Yeah, man.
I would tell you.
Yeah.
It's crazy that he's still under 30.
Yep.
But he's got some mileage on those legs. So you're old, you are thin. To me, it's a recipe for outside top four, but we'll see. Because, again, if Jokic and those guys are going to be out there, Aaron Gordon's going to be out there, you can absolutely finish top three, top four in the West again. Thing's going to be, if they are, what's left for the postseason?
Absolutely.
You know, that Minnesota team that put them out of the playoffs this year had no business doing it.
Yep. Want to bring you a little bit of news from – where's the game this weekend? Cincinnati?
The game?
For the Bears?
I would believe so because, we were in Chicago last week.
Dexter Lawrence just picked off Caleb Williams in the joint practice. So I didn't want to bring you that news, bring you just down a little bit, you know, because you certainly had some things to say about my quarterback. Okay. So you just got picked off by Sexy Dexy.
Yeah, he's been known to do that. I guarantee you Caleb was challenging him. Challenging the big man, seeing if he could jump for it.
Yeah.
Now, Dexter Lawrence is a potential difference maker, a real difference maker for them.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
Do they have anything on the edges that can take advantage of his presence in the middle? That would be my question with Hendrickson.
Not really.
Gone.
I don't think so.
You went and got some young dudes, but do they have anything? Do they have anything in the tank?
Yeah.
And we're about no Dexter Lawrence, bro.
Sometimes I like follow my NFL like training camp. Like Joe Shad, remember Joe Shad from ESPN? You know, he now covers the Dolphins.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just having a brutal day out there. I mean, he is just disgusted by what he's seeing from the Miami Dolphins today.
As he should be.
He says, "What an ugly day." I mean, his tweets have been just a really bad day for the Dolphins offense. Poor day for Dolphins O. Giants D, clearly. These are all different tweets.
Weirdly, he follows a lot of people in Memphis.
He follows me.
Yeah.
Does he follow you?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he's just trying to keep up with the Showboats or something. I don't know. Of course, they're gone now. But, he is disgusted by the Miami Dolphins' offensive performance today in practice against the Giants. So, and it's something. It's fun to watch. I mean, the Miami Dolphins should be one of the worst teams in the NFL. I mean, they have Malik Willis at quarterback, and that's about it. I mean, the A-chan.
Well, they got A-chan.
But if he goes down, good night. Call it. It's over. See you in 2027.
Yeah, they're in a transition phase.
Yes.
The Dolphins.
A lot of teams in that situation. Browns, Dolphins, Raiders trying to get better.
Browns, man, they don't even want you to do it to win the job.
That's terrible.
As a fifth-round pick, are they going to give him a real chance?
It's really a bad situation.
What a mess.
Bad situation. Anyway, Caleb Williams just threw a pick.
Cedric's at Melrose, they tell me.
Oh, he's coaching.
Yeah, it was his son I saw the picture of.
Yeah.
Who's now with the trying to hold on with the Detroit Lions.
Yeah. Shout out to Melrose.
Thank you to our listeners.
Golden Wildcats.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess he's back over there. I thought he was back and gone, but I guess he's back. Or those twins were over there coaching last year.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Cedric Wilson Jr. made at least $12 million.
Cedric Wilson Jr. still playing in the league, made at least $12 million, and I think, again, is trying to make the team with Detroit. Looks like he signed. I don't see any news since.
Yeah.
So I guess trying to make the 53.
So he's made approximately $20.5 million in his NFL career.
The Sun?
Yeah, the Sun.
Most of it coming from Miami, I'm assuming.
Yes.
The Miami deal.
Yeah, because he got $12 million from them.
Yeah.
So it was guaranteed. It was a bigger contract, but obviously, you know, he didn't finish it.
I mean, Dad got a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah.
Steelers, Son got $20 million.
Yeah.
So they've done pretty good for themselves.
He got 2.85 from the Saints, it looks like. 12.7 from the Dolphins. About $3 million from the Cowboys. So 3 plus 12 is 15. So, you know, you add up that. So it's almost $20 million there. So pretty good stuff. Pretty good stuff for him. That's a Memphis guy,
yeah.
Grinding it out. Not an easy career, but buddy, $20 million. That is the argument for being a professional athlete. I'm not trying to diminish Cedric Wilson, but nobody would sit here and say that Cedric Wilson Jr. has had some amazing NFL career. He's been grinding and fighting, and we're rooting for him. But point is that even if you don't have some illustrious career, go make $20 million, man. I mean, that's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing there. All right, we'll come back with a rundown. Then Drew Hill at 11:25. Stick around. J&J, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork. But somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.